morning, everyone. Happy Easter. This morning's reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 and 16 through 20. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Heavenly Father, merciful God, on this day we are truly grateful for your love and your grace shown to us in your Son Jesus. We've been through a long and hard week, and it's wonderful today to be here as we celebrate the resurrection. So thank you for the opportunity to come together as your people. And thank you, God, for your word and for your message for us this morning. I pray that your Spirit will take away our doubt, that you will remove the obstacles that might hinder us from hearing your message, believing it, and applying it to our lives. We pray, God, that you will bless us now with your word. In the name of Jesus. Since Ash Wednesday, we have been asking the question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And we've talked a lot about the arrival fallacy. And the arrival fallacy is the common human experience of believing that arriving at a certain goal or milestone will bring happiness, will bring fulfillment. We expect certain moments and junctures in our lives to be places of arrival. But when we get there, we discover it brings at best temporary satisfaction. We say, you know, if only this could happen, then everything will be fine and I will be happy. But we still feel disappointed and unhappy when we get to the next thing. We find we still haven't arrived at our hoped for destinations. We're still unfailingly human. We are still flawed. We are still broken. And there will always be the next challenge and the next problem. But let me ask you, can you think of a story from your own personal life, or maybe from literature or a movie or a play or a sporting event, when you thought it was the end of the story? And it wasn't. Maybe there was a second act or an epilogue or a miraculous comeback. Let me see, how many of you watched the final round of the Masters this last Sunday? That's it. I mean, it was like the most watched event in sporting history almost. But in any case, so before last Sunday, Rory McIlroy had won 3 of the 4 major championships, the US Open, the British Open, and the PGA. But in 16 attempts, he had never won the Masters. And only 5 golfers, by the way, in the history of the game had been able to win the Grand Slam, meaning all 4 majors. Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Tiger Woods. And every year before the Masters tournament, the reporters would ask Rory, "Rory, when are you going to win the Masters and complete the Grand Slam?" And so this year he started the final round with a 2-shot lead. He makes a double bogey on the first hole, and just like that, his 2-shot lead is gone. After the second hole, he's 1 behind the new leader, Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau makes a bogey on the third. Rory makes a birdie. He's the leader again by 1 shot. He goes on a roll. And when he gets to the 11th hole, he has a 5-shot lead, okay? A 5-shot lead. Then he makes a bogey on 11. And when he gets to the par 5, 13th hole, the last hole of Amen Corner, he still has a 4-shot lead. With just 86 yards to the pin for his 3rd shot, he hits one of the worst wedge shots ever and dumps it into Ray's Creek, making a double bogey. He then makes a bogey on 14 as well, and when he stands on the 15th tee, all of a sudden, after he was 5 shots ahead, he's now tied with Justin Rose at 10 under par. And he hits an incredible second shot onto the par 5 green, misses a short putt like this for eagle, and makes a birdie. And now he's 1 shot ahead. Rose birdies the 16th, they tied. Rory birdies the 17th, and he's playing the final hole still with a 1-shot lead. Just make par, and the elusive Masters title is his. He hits a perfect drive right down the middle. He has a simple wedge shot, you know, into the 18th green. Hits a poor shot, ends up in the bunker on the right. Plays a decent shot out of the bunker and has a short 4-foot putt left to win the Masters tournament and join golf immortality. He misses the putt, and he ends up in a tie with Justin Rose. They head to the 18th hole, the first playoff hole, another perfect drive right down the middle, and then he hits an incredible second shot to, again, 4 feet from the pin. Rose misses his birdie putt, and all Rory has to do is to make his. Wins the green jacket, and he makes the putt, and he becomes only the 6th player in golf history to win the career Grand Slam. Why am I telling you this story? obviously, I'm very excited about it, but, you know, and if you know nothing about golf, by the way, and, you know, it was like I was talking in code, you know, I apologize, but the thing is, you know, so many times throughout that final round, I was thinking, you know, this is the end. This is the end for Rory. He's not going to make it. It's over. It's final. He's done. He's had so many chances, but he's thrown them all away. And every time he came back, didn't lose hope, didn't get negative, give up, and in the end, he did it. When we think about our own lives, I'm sure we've all had seasons that ended sooner than we expected. Maybe for you it's the death of a loved one, or a marriage that ended up in divorce, or maybe you lost your dream job. And when it happens, you know, it can feel so final. It can feel so final, but what do we do with our messy chapters? What we see today is that the hope is in the epilogue. And the hope is in the enduring presence of Christ who says, "And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Jesus promises that he will be with us no matter what, even until the end of the world. Because you see, death is not the end. Death is not a final arrival. Jesus is raised, and there is more to the story. Jesus lives, and so do we. And that's the good news of Easter. And he sends us out on the journey anew, and he promises to be with us always, the whole way. So let me share two thoughts with you this morning. And first of all, there's the gift, you know, of thwarted expectations. Early morning on Easter Sunday, the women go to the tomb, expecting to care for Jesus' body. But he's not there. And the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was nailed to a cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life, just as Jesus said he would. Come see the place where his body was lying." They go looking for Jesus' body, expecting him to still be in the womb of death. And all they now know is that Jesus is not where he was supposed to be. And I want you to think about that. Because Jesus so often isn't where we think he's supposed to be. What we often do is we project our expectations onto God. Jesus should be in the grave, right? Or God should do this, or he should do that, or he should be here, or he should be there. And we're expecting God to show up in ways we can understand and the ways we can predict. And we're accustomed to looking for Jesus in all the right places. And we're surprised if we don't sense his presence in rituals maybe, or churches or cathedrals or traditions or even sacred music and so on. But we're nonplussed when he acts outside of those boundaries. The empty tomb symbolizes a new reality. It's a reality that challenges our assumptions. It's a reality that invites us to encounter Christ in unexpected ways. What I'm saying is be open. Be open to the idea of meeting Jesus in unexpected ways on the journey through life. Jesus is not only where we might expect to find him, like in church or on Sunday morning or in the Bible. The women expected to find a lifeless body. Instead, they met by the risen Christ. And suddenly, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they went near him and held onto his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Tell my followers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." And so the truth is, Jesus might not seem present when we want him to be present, but he's there when he needs to be. And Jesus is at work in the unseen, and he's there in the brokenness and in the thin places and in the ordinariness of life, where we often forget to seek him. And he often thwarts our expectations. The second thought I want to share with you is there is hope in this life, and there's hope in the next. Over the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about our human tendency to seek these milestones or arrival points throughout our lives. If I can only get that, then I will feel happy and satisfied. if I can only land this job, if I can only earn this amount of money, if I can only achieve this goal, then I will feel like I have arrived in life. We feel the need to arrive in this life because death seems like such a final ending point. However, for a believer, this life is not all there is. Through the resurrected Jesus, there's a new life beyond the here and now. And for me, that's a source of hope in the messy and the painful parts of my life. That brings some comfort to me when I look at all that's going on in the world and in our country. This is not the way it's going to end, okay? I mean, consider how God kept showing up for his people in Egypt and how he liberated them from slavery, how he provided for them in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, in the exile, in the life and ministry of Jesus, and now in the resurrection. And why would God stop being God now if this is who God has been throughout the story of the Bible? There is hope for eternal life, but there's also hope for now while we're on this journey called life. There is hope in the promise of Jesus to be with us always, even to the end of the age. He says, "Never will I forsake you or leave you." He's with us as we continue our messy journeys. So you see, death is not the final arrival. It's not the end of the story. We might have thought so on Friday when Jesus was nailed to a cross. But today we are celebrating his comeback, his resurrection from the dead. And what we see as the end is not necessarily so. And when we think it's over, Jesus is not done yet. Because you see, even the resurrection is not the end. It's not the final arrival of this great faith story either. It's a new beginning. For the disciples, there was a new chapter. They are sent out to go and make followers of all people in the world. And there's the next chapter. And that's why we are here today. And so the same is true for our lives. Maybe you have your own fear and doubts about the next chapter in your life that God's calling you to. Is it maybe just possible that you can still embrace it with joy, knowing that it might not be what you expect it to be, but God is still with you? And so I want to encourage you to look for Jesus' presence in the messy parts of your life. And remember this, death is not our final arrival. What you expect to be the end is not necessarily so. Jesus lives, and so do we. And he sends us out on the journey anew, and he promises to be with us the whole way. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, so often in life we think it's the end, we think it's over. There's no hope, nothing's left. And yet, you enable us to rise anew, just like you rose Jesus from the dead. You make our dreams alive again. You give us new hope. You give us the strength to continue the journey. I pray that your Spirit will empower us to never give up, to never lose hope, to never think that it's the end or that death is the final arrival. Because there's more. There's life. Not just now, but also with you for eternity. That's what your Son Jesus made possible when he conquered the grave. Through him and faith in Him, we are blessed with new life. And so thank you for the Easter message. May that be true for everyone here today. In your name we pray. Amen.